buckle up, everyone, as we take a ride through the corridors of corruption, discerning fact from fiction and truth from lies, with your host, George Dunn.
Well, hello, Patriots, ladies and gentlemen, folks all around the world. My name's George Dunn, and it's February 3rd, and you're watching The George Dunn Show. Today, I don't think I'm going to bring a bunch of news to you. There's so much of it. But rather, in The American Thinker, I was reading an article that they wrote, that they published about the Constitution, and I thought it was worthy of some consideration. So today, we'll try to keep it short and just ponder some things. So let's jump over and look at the article. It's called A Real Constitutional Crisis Upon Us by The American Thinker. So we've heard repeated claims over the course of the Trump presidency that we're facing a constitutional crisis. And some people have been saying they're nonsense. I don't think so. There's a problem that arises when the Constitution is ignored rather than respected. And I feel like, and many of you probably do too, that this has been happening a lot. Instead of interpreting the Constitution as it was written, there's been a lot of legislation from the bench, twisting its meanings and so on. And that's a problem. It will make it so our Constitution ceases to be a guarantee of our rights or a constraint on government overreach. Under those circumstances, the Constitution will no longer have any bearing on how we conduct ourselves as a nation, and it will become nothing more than an interesting historical document, a relic, okay? It'll be something just, hey, that's cool. Like, royalty in England, the royal family. You know? It's a true constitutional crisis. So the Supreme Court is supposed to be a bulwark, a protector against encroachments on the Constitution. The justices are not only supposed to be interpreters of the Constitution, but also its guardians. Okay, they're supposed to guard it. They're scholars intended to understand the Constitution inside and out and to ensure that the nation remains faithful to it. And one of the reasons that they're granted lifetime appointments is so that they can rise above petty politics, so that they're not partisan, so that they're independent of outside influences. However, we all know that that's not true. Especially, look, they talk about who's conservative on the bench and who's liberal on the bench. And they always point out Justice John Roberts as this conservative justice, although he's not supposed to be conservative or liberal. But they point him out as that, and I think he was a Bush appointee. But when's the last time he's ruled that you can remember in near memory in a conservative's favor? It seems like it's been decades. Glad to have the three new justices. My favorites are Alito and Thomas. Not sure what to think of Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett just yet, but Alito is definitely, and Thomas, I like those guys. But anyway, somewhere along the line, the Supreme Court decided it not only wanted to keep the Constitution relevant, but it wanted it to evolve with the times, like a living, breathing document. Not something that's actually in stone, that has a rules base that can't be moved, like goalposts and things, when things can't be accomplished the way people don't like those pesky rules. You know, a document written for the ages by wise sages in order to protect our freedoms and our liberties. We're just going to, you know, consider that, you know, it's always moving and forming. That's a problem. That is a real problem. Trying to say and interpret what the founders meant and say they didn't really mean that it meant it that way for back then, kind of like they do for the Bible now when you have a liberal Christian scholar debating the Bible. They say, well, God said that, but in that day, he didn't mean it the same way that he would say it in these days, and change his words to suit their agenda. Anyway, I'm going into a rabbit trail. I apologize for that. Let's compare our approaching I love this. Our approaching constitutional crisis to that of an approaching comet. Okay? Astronomers, they assure us that if you see the comet coming long into the distance and you have time, all you need is a little nudge to take it off its trajectory of smashing into the Earth, if it's heading toward the Earth. Just a little nudge, and then, you know, the line will get bigger and bigger and separate, and it'll miss, okay? But if the threat is, it's only if the threat is detected early enough, can they nudge it easily off, of course. However, the longer it remains undetected, the more difficult it becomes to redirect from the mass of the Earth. The closer it is, the more you got to turn it, you know, as it gets closer to avoid impending disaster, okay? That's how this constitutional crisis is working. Threats to the Constitution have been approaching for generations, and the Supreme Court has failed to prohibit or interdict the approaching threats when it could have relatively easily been done. Now, we're reaching a point where, in their attempt to make the Constitution modern day relevant, they've now made the Constitution watered down by reinterpreting it, and it makes it irrelevant instead of relevant. That's what happens when you don't follow good rules, a good solid base of rules, then they become, instead of relevant like they once were, as guiding principles and protectors of liberty, they become irrelevant. And it's not clear anymore whether the Supreme Court has any interest in defending the Constitution. And we'll go into a brief history just to show some of the examples of what we're saying. Roe v. Wade, 1973, when it was decided that abortion would become legal. The court could have simply ruled that abortion is not a right guaranteed by the Constitution. Not a right. Okay? It's not. It shouldn't be a right to be able to injure a human. And doctors on the left will say, it's not a human, it's a human embryo. The baby just lives in a different place. They live in the body rather than out of the body. I've heard it said that, and here's another rabbit trail, I apologize, but I've heard it said that whereas no one has the right to tell, lawmakers don't have the right, or enforcers of the law don't have the right to tell a woman what to do with her body, they certainly have the right to tell people not to harm the life that's in the woman's body. Sorry about that. Love my little boy. He needs help with the soda. I'm glad he's here. Okay? So in 1973, they could have ruled that it wasn't a right, okay, in the Constitution. It was the business of the states, and the Supreme Court would not engage in the argument. Instead, the Supreme Court found a new right hidden in a secret compartment somewhere, an extra right, okay, hidden somewhere in a secret compartment somewhere in the Constitution. And just like that, the court announced, we're open for business, guys. If you can't get something passed in Congress, just bring it on down to the Supreme Court. We can help you. We'll hook you up. We'll do that for you. We'll do your bidding. We'll legislate from the bench. We won't interpret the Constitution. We won't protect the fidelity of its importance for the freedom of Americans. And they became a political player. The Supreme Court becomes a political player. Fast forward to 2012. The court had already been playing around with laws it does and does not like for years. Here, let me have it. But in 2012, one of its most notorious rulings landed on the American people. The Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. It had been challenged. Oh, let me sip it. It's going to overflow. This may not be particularly professional, but what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? Okay, there you go. Take that away. So, the Obamacare in 2012. It had been challenged on the grounds that it was unconstitutional for the government to require citizens to buy products from private companies and fine them, penalty, fines, if they failed to do so. And as part of the argument supporting Obamacare, the drafters of the legislation argued that the fine was not a tax. But in spite of this, the court and conservative Justice John Roberts found this, and I remember listening to it, and I was fuming. In spite of this, the court ruled that Obamacare was constitutional because the government has the right to levy taxes, and the fine was really a tax, even though the legislation said that it wasn't a tax. This is how they pushed through something that they were really shenaniganery. Got me all worked up here. So they're legislating from the bench, making stuff up just to, I mean, they're tuned in, man. They're good. So at this point, the Supreme Court wasn't just picking laws it liked and disliked. It was, like I just said, writing legislation itself rather than interpreting the meanings of the Constitution and protecting liberty. And by doing so, it was saying that the legislation meant something other than what it actually said. And the comet that's on course for the Earth that hasn't been nudged yet far off is now getting closer. Let's jump forward to the Trump administration. The judicial branch has become a political player. Judge shopping is the new thing. So if you can't find a judge to rule in your favor the way that you want them to, you just pick another judge. We'll just go over and get the other judge. These are called rogue judges. And we saw judges unilaterally appropriating powers of the Department of Justice. The DOJ has the sole authority to decide when and when not to prosecute someone. And when they decided to drop the case, the charges, the phony process charges where the FBI set him up, try to get him to say something, you know, just a little bit wrong or whatever, against the 3-star Patriot General Michael Flynn, this district court judge, Emmett Sullivan, decided to appoint his own prosecutor and continue the proceedings, even though the DOJ dropped him. Okay, this judge, he appointed his own prosecutor, continued the proceedings against Flynn, and he became judge, prosecutor, and jury, all wrapped up in one robe. No separation of power there. So the Supreme Court could have, at that point, reined in rogue judges with clear rulings about the inappropriateness of their actions, their behavior, but instead they didn't, and equal justice under the law is no longer a given. And the comet is still approaching. Give me 1 second. That I will be done in a minute, and I'll come see you. Okay. We're getting through this. So here now, we're at the end of Trump's first term in the election of 2020. And one of our most sacred rights is to vote in free and fair elections. In response to COVID-19, numerous election officials announced their intent to conduct the election contrary to applicable laws. For instance, like when Pennsylvania's Secretary of State and Governor change election laws that only state legislatures are supposed to be able to do, then they have violated their own state's constitution, which in essence violates the United States Constitution, and all those vote gets are not really, in my opinion, valid, okay? And then you've got mail-in ballots without postmark dates. You've got mail-in ballots with no signatures. You've got mail-in ballots without folding. You've got a ballot harvesting, and all these various different things. 5 ways from Sunday, or however that saying, they figured out all kinds of ways to flood the zone with irregularities. Okay, did the Supreme Court do anything about that? No, they took a pass. After the election with a mountain of irregularities, the court again had a chance to ensure election integrity through a public hearing of evidence and unbiased adjudication of its implications. the Supreme Court, again, they took a pass. You know, some days you go to work and the day's just going to be harder. It's going to be a harder job that day. Some days aren't easy. Okay. These Supreme Court justices have been given lifetime appointments in robes of honor and cushy, very expensive chairs to sit in. That's what they do. They go to work and sit in a chair. Okay. And work was going to be too hard for them. So they denied the work. Okay. We don't want to look like bad guys. We don't want to get involved in that. Oh, they'll come with us with torches and pitchforks. I mean, come on, man. This Biden would say, come on, man. Come on. So our constitutional guardians opted out of defending our constitutional rights. Once again, and the comet that's approaching the Earth is getting even closer. And now it's 2021, and we've seen free speech rights threatened by censorship. Our right of assembly has been suspended for COVID-19 lockdowns. Members of Congress have called conservatives insurrectionists and demanded our re-education for having the temerity to protest. The Department of Homeland Security has even issued a domestic terrorism alert because right-wing radicals might question the authority of the new president, Joe Beijing Biden, CCP operative. Sleepy creepy Uncle Joe. Is it possible that the Patriot Act may be used to surveil and curtail conservative political movements? And before you say no, they would never do that. It's crazy. These people are respectable organizations. Remember, the IRS targeted the Tea Party and the FBI spied on the Trump campaign. Just like right now, we're getting news that Kevin Kleinsmith sent that false. He's a FBI lawyer, sent a fake email that the FBI relied on in order to get the warrant to spy on Trump. And he's getting 12 months probation. So when you guys are sitting there waiting, you know, for indictments and things like that, two-tier justice system, man, I mean, he got some justice, but which one of us would have got 12 months probation? So lawsuits challenging censorship and domestic surveillance are undoubtedly on their way. Will the Supreme Court choose to get involved? Or will it take a pass again? Time is short. The crisis is here. The constitutional crisis. The comet crisis. And the justices may either fulfill their oaths to the rest of us, or we will need to embrace for deep, destructive, disastrous, deadly impact. I know that's pretty deep, but I mean, this is real stuff. We've got to consider. We the people. Is it relevant or is it irrelevant? Are you trying to make it relevant, which creates it to be irrelevant? Why don't you just follow and interpret it the way that the framers had intended it? And then we'll all be good. Anyway, everybody, thanks for tuning in. Sorry for my son interrupting. But, you know, sometimes you got to help him out. I'm here to do that. I'm here to help you out. And glad we got together today. Keep the faith. There's still good things to look forward to, even though I've been on a serious note today. Keep the faith. Keep looking up. And give them heaven. George Dunn, signing off. Cheers.